could begin. Exactly. The House please come to order. The members please indicate their presence by voting. Has every member voted? We do have a quorum present to conduct business today. The invocation today will be presented by Reverend Larry Olson, Eagle Wings Community Church. Would the members please rise?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, watch over all who serve in this house. Bless tired bodies and minds for their tasks. May this state be a stronger, safer, and more just place because of their work. Many concerns that come before these representatives are very complicated, and the issues become very clouded at times. Grant these people a clearness of vision and an ability to focus on the matters at hand. Once again, we remember those in Oklahoma City, both those grieving the death of loved ones and those combing through rubble. May they be strengthened for the challenges ahead. We pray for those people and those causes we name in our hearts now. In your name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Olson. Representative Coring, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread in the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Mr. Majority Leader, absences.
Madam Speaker, may the journal reflect the representative Barnes excused from the call of the House today due to illness.
Representative Barnes will be shown as excused due to illness. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 99th legislative day and House and Senate Joint Journal Supplement Number 12.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House journal is certified by the Chief Clerk to be approved.
Without objection, the journal will be approved. Do we have guests today for introduction? Representative Foster.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to introduce a near and dear friend of mine, a hunter, miner, pilot, educator, 6 years formerly the chief of staff for my office in our district from Western Alaska, nearly 40 years in education here in Alaska, and now back into education on the Yukon, Larry LeBole in the gallery behind me, and also a member of the school board from Mountain Village, Elizabeth Chigaga. If you'll help me welcome them, please.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm honored to have a constituent from the Huffman PTA here observing the process today, and we'll be stopping by and chatting with some of you concerning educational issues. Would you help me welcome to Juno Sarah Gant?
Further guests, Representative
also,
Bundy.
Also, thank you. Following in the footsteps of my esteemed colleague to the left, I will poach and steal a couple of constituents. Folks from the Abbott Luke PTA, where my wife works, Kathy Breckenridge and Shelley Irwin. And if I may continue, I'm sorry I've lost your last name, but from Ocean View, showing no prejudices at all to my neighboring districts. I'll steal all the constituents I can get. We have Teresa.
Further guests for introduction. This brings us down the calendar to messages. Does the clerk have messages from the governor?
No, Madam Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated April 24th stating the Senate has passed House Bill 23 and House Bill 164. Message dated April 24th stating the Senate has passed the following and they're transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill 25 by Senators Donnelly, Ellis, Halford, Miller, Taylor, Torgerson, and Green, entitled an act repealing vegetable dealer licensing and regulation.
Pardon me. It's one of 25. Mm-hmm. That'll be referred to Labor and Commerce.
Senate Bill 150. By Senators Kelly, Taylor, Hoffman, Zara, Phillips, Lehman, Miller, Halford, Sharp, Torgerson, Green, Donnelly, Duncan, Salo, Ellis, and Frank, entitled an act establishing Dutch Harbor Remembrance Day.
That'll be referred to State Affairs.
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications.
We have reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 257, Post-Secondary Education Programs, Loans, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 257, Finance, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass, Mulder, Martin, Grusendorf, Coring, Terrio, Brown, Navarre. No recommendation, Hanley. The report was signed by Hanley, co-chair. House Bill 257 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Bill 3, Antitrust Exemption for Fishermen, recommending do pass, Porter, B. Davis, Finkelstein, Green, Toohey. No recommendation, Veazey. The report was signed by Porter Chairman. SB 3 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 27, Miscellaneous Grandparent Visitation Rights, recommends it be replaced with House CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 27, Judiciary, with the same title, recommending do pass, Finkelstein, Veazey, Porter, Bundy, Toohey. The report was signed by Porter Chairman. SSSB 27 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have citations or resolutions today for introduction?
Citation honoring Edith Holm by Representative Veazey. Honoring Lisa Parker Girl Scout Gold Award by Representative Navarre, G. Davis and Phillips, and Senator Salo and Torgerson. Honoring Mary Elizabeth Lohman by Representative Veazey. Honoring the 1995 Nikiski High School Volleyball Team by Representatives Navarre, G. Davis, Phillips, Senator Salo, and Torgerson. Honoring Mia Oxley, Child Care Connection by Senator Ellis and Representative Brown. In Memoriam, Nancy Lou Kloss by Representative Veazey. In Memoriam, William Frederick Drake by Representative Willis and Senator Halford. In Memoriam, Harry McDonald by Senator Halford and Phillips and Representatives Willis and Kopp. House Joint Resolution Number 45 by Representative Bryce proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska limiting the rights of prisoners to those required in the Constitution of the United States.
That will be referred to HES Committee, State Affairs, and Judiciary.
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction, Madam Speaker.
We have bills today for introduction.
House Bill 321 by the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs entitled An Act Placing Certain Persons Employed in Response to a Disaster in the Exempt Service.
That will be referred to the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs.
House Bill 322 by the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs entitled An Act Authorizing Grants for Temporary Housing Assistance During Emergencies and Disasters.
That will be referred to House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. And before we go into the daily calendar, I would like to announce for the benefit of the body that our schedule today will be to go in debate until 12:30, to take a one-hour break and come back at 1:30 and continue out for the rest of the afternoon. Mr. Minority Leader?
Can I ask for a 15-minute caucus, Madam Speaker?
At this time?
It will be brief, yes.
House stand in ease until 10:45.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we dispense with all further amendments on HB 158 and no objection. Well, I'll make a motion to advance third reading.
Yes.
Call for the
vote. House, please stand at ease. One moment and we'll come to order. Come back to order. I would assume before we do anything else, we revert back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Correct.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Since we're already at introduction of guests, I would like to introduce a sundry people from across the state who are down for the PTA day at the legislature. So when I say your name, folks, please stand up, wave, and let people know who you are. We have Terry McDermott from Eagle River. Anna Fairclough from Eagle River as well. Meg Marquette from North Pole. Carol Mears from Fairbanks. Bunny Schaefer from Kotzebue. Patty Cohen from Finger Lake. Carol Bednar from Fairview in Anchorage. Wendy, and excuse me on this name, Wendy. Sikinski. Tess Lanham. Geraldine Lowe. Pauline Pulowski, Rebecca Miller, Kate Young, Pam Frichtel, Joyce Rogers, Kathy Gillespie, Sarah Gant, Kathy Breckenridge, Shelley Irvin, Gail Colmod, and Sue Hull, who is the statewide president of the PTA Association. So please welcome them.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Moses?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce a constituent of mine, who's also a school board member from Unalaska, Shirley Bishop.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Masick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to bring up the reconsideration of my vote on HJR 33.
We're under reconsideration on HJR 33. Is there a debate? Representative Masick? House briefly stand at ease. Good morning, Representative.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to place a call on the House, please.
There is a call placed on the House. Under debate. Would the clerk please read the title again?
House Joint Resolution Number 33, failed by Representative Masick, Toohey, James, Bundy, and Ogun, requesting the Congress to amend Title 8 of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act.
House Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to indicate that I'll be changing my vote. I voted against this resolution when it came up the first time. Since then, a couple things have happened. I didn't have this resolution in any committee and wasn't privy to any of the debate. So the debate on the floor was somewhat compelling, and so I voted against it, primarily based on the division that I see it creating between the parties that need to get together and come to a consensus on a solution to this issue. However, since that vote, the Federal Subsistence Board has made a moose hunting decision on the peninsula, and because of that, I contacted several individuals in my community intimately involved with the management of fish and game in the area, and I've been assured that there's already a large enough division among the groups that this will not increase that division anymore. I'm sad to hear that, and I think that many of us anyway, I think, agree with the content of the resolution, that being a change to ANILCA, and I think we also agree that it is a part of a solution. So based on the intent, based on the fact that I believe the division will not be created that will be overly detrimental to the solution, and based on the fact that I firmly agree with the intent and content of the resolution, I'll be switching my vote and voting for this resolution.
Further debate? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I don't know quite how to say this. I don't think that I still don't believe that the resolution does anything. I am considering, though, voting in favor of the resolution. I'd like to inform the body as to why. The reason that I'm considering voting in favor of it is to reduce the pressure and the coercive tactics that have been used on other members of this body with respect to other items that the vote and the consideration of this item is hinging upon. I think that it is irresponsible. It is not in the best interest of this body. It's not in the best interest of the people of this state. And in order to try to relieve some of that pressure from that member, I'll consider voting in favor of this amendment so that perhaps there will not be a connection between the consideration of this bill and a vote against a subsequent bill. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
House briefly stand at ease, Representative Navarre. Order. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First of all, I would like to thank you for letting us have the opportunity, who were absent, to debate on what we call a crucial House Joint Resolution 33. And Madam Speaker, crucial to Alaska Natives, and I beg to differ with my colleague, with all due respect from District 9, on his views. To Alaska Natives, House Joint Resolution 33 is very crucial to us because it costs, it's asking for Congress to amend ANILCA. And Madam Speaker, whenever ANILCA is spoken or debated on, the Alaska Natives' hackles rise. I happen to be one of those Alaska Natives when their hackles rise, especially when it deals with ANILCA. Madam Speaker, we have debated this issue endlessly, years and years of debate. Madam Speaker, I love my heritage. It is so diverse and rich, and I would never forsake it. God put us on this planet Earth with different cultures, different diversities, rich in their diversities, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, I'm one of the people who appreciate and embody our culture, our diverseness, our differentness. Madam Speaker, as much as we say we are created equal, we are not. To Alaska Natives, we still live in third world conditions. We see it, we are exposed to it on a daily basis, Madam Speaker. And for Alaska Natives, they have had to live in the harshest of environments, in the harshest of circumstances. Madam Speaker, I'd like to give an example. Right now, our whalers are trying to break trail to whale, to subsistence hunt. And it's very different from urban areas. And in order to do that right now, what we have is a 10-mile difference from the ice, from the shore to the ice, to break trail. And you know, Madam Speaker, because you grew up in rural Alaska, you know how the ice can erupt. And it's dangerous. But our subsistence whalers, hunters, risk their lives to live their cultural lifestyle. And we appreciate it. We honor it, Madam Speaker. And the representative from District 22, I'm sorry she's not here, knows by now I'm not used to beef. She knows it. I tell her, God, I have to get used to this beef. But I'm not. And Madam Speaker, because I grew up in a more traditional lifestyle, I grew up eating fish for breakfast. I grew up eating caribou soup for dinner. What we call, my term now, since I'm college educated now, I call it the poor man's soup, Madam Speaker. And you know why? Because caribou soup is just made of rice, onions, and caribou. That's it, poor man's soup. And Madam Speaker, I'm used to fermented walrus. I treasure it. In fact, somebody is bringing me some today from the North Slope. And I will treasure it. I will eat it. And I share my muktuk too, whale meat. And so they're also bringing that. They're also bringing caribou. But we share those. It's a part of our culture and a part of our lifestyle. Madam Speaker, when the representative from District 9 said that maybe he would support this bill, I can understand his reasoning because he comes from a different district. He doesn't come from a cultural lifestyle, Madam Speaker, and he's not Alaska Native. And Madam Speaker, this House Joint Resolution 33 is against everything rural Alaska stands for and what we embody as Alaska Natives. Madam Speaker, House Joint Resolution 33 should not be here before us. We should not have to vote on it, Madam Speaker, because I believe that, you know, I wasn't here when the presentation of donning a costume and taking it off was being presented during the debate last week. Thank God I wasn't here, because costumes are irrelevant to our culture. Costumes you can don off and don on easily, Madam Speaker. But when we speak about our livelihood, and when we in rural Alaska have to subsist on our lifestyle, it's very irrelevant. Madam Speaker, I don't know where the representative from District 28 was coming from when she did that. And Madam Speaker, I was appalled by her actions.
Representative McLean, you are out of order in discussing another member's actions on this floor. You are out of order, Representative McLean. You're also out of order in your language on this floor. Please observe the decorum of debate on this floor.
Yes, Madam Speaker, thank you. But what I'm saying is that for 99% of Alaska Natives, when they speak about opposition to House Joint Resolution 33, it is true. 99% of Alaska Natives oppose it. Maybe the rest of urban Alaska will support it. And for sure, I'm pretty sure it's going to pass. But Madam Speaker, I stand in opposition to House Joint Resolution 33.
Further debate, Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to first of all start off by apologizing to the body if I cast aspersion. Perhaps there are just rumors floating around. Madam Speaker, I also want to talk a little bit about my reflections on subsistence and the reason why I intend to vote against this bill. Despite the fact that I have had a number of calls, I've seen the petitions from my district. My district is in a turmoil right now over the possibility of having a subsistence hunt, which will eclipse much of the sport hunting in that district. And the reason why, in spite of that, I still vote against the resolution is because the resolution does absolutely nothing to resolve that situation. Absolutely nothing. And I cannot in good conscience vote for something and then take it back and wave it around as if I've done something actually to accomplish what I think many of us on this body, in fact, maybe a consensus and maybe even a unanimous on this body would be that Title VIII of ANILCA needs to be amended. I believe Title VIII of ANILCA needs to be amended because the definitions are not clear. And since the definitions are not clear, what we're going to end up with is federal managers making decisions that then the federal courts will interpret, and the courts are, we're going to end up with a Bolt decision in Alaska. We're going to end up with a huge division in Alaska between our peoples and our communities, as we're seeing on the Kenai Peninsula. So we need to try to do something to solve the subsistence issue and to work with our congressional delegation to get Title VIII of ANILCA amended. We need to do that. But to pass a resolution that further divides the issue and the peoples of this state and suggest that it actually does something to accomplish what we all feel needs to be done is a fallacy. It's a sham. And that's why I cannot vote in favor of the resolution. Madam Speaker, I believe that what we in this body and what the administration of this state and what the interest groups in this state need to do is sit down over a period of time and give us a set defined timeline and get everybody in, as many as possible in a room, sit down and hammer out a consensus opinion that we can take to our congressional delegation so that they will be able to accomplish something. Because here's what's going to happen if the resolution passes. Senator Stevens and Congressman Young and Senator Murkowski are not going to say, I have a resolution here that was passed by the Alaska legislature. Let's change ANILCA. They're not going to do that. They'd get laughed out of Congress. What's going to happen is if this passes, and I don't know whether it's going to pass or not, but if it passes, it will be used as one of the items whenever the debate ensues about ANILCA. One of the items. But what's going to happen? What are the other items that are going to take place? All of the diverse interests and interest groups and people of this state who feel very strongly, both urban and rural, will go down to Congress. And they'll have a huge fear, and the window will close, and no changes will have been made. That's why this is a fallacy and a sham. If we really, truly want to do something, then we ought to do what our congressional delegation has said, what Senator Stevens said on the floor of this House, and that is that seek consensus, and if you're able to achieve consensus, we will push it through Congress, and we'll get the changes to ANILCA necessary to effect transfer back to the state of Alaska what every single person, I think, in this room wants, and that is state management of fish and game so that we manage the fish and wildlife resources in the state of Alaska. Alaskans manage it rather than federal bureaucrats with oversight by federal courts. That's what we're going to end up with, absent consensus. This resolution does not achieve consensus, and, Madam Speaker, it does absolutely nothing to resolve the issue. So let's not go out of this room in case this resolution passes and suggest to anybody that we've done a single thing to help resolve the issue and the conflict that is permeating and the currents that are running underlying currents within this state that are very strong on many different sides of this issue. Today, we do nothing, and it is incumbent upon us as a body to work in the best interest, as our Constitution suggest that is our responsibility, to seek consensus and to provide for some solutions to this crisis that is tearing the people and this state apart. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Before we continue any further debate, I am going to make this ruling. I will invoke Rule 102 at this time. Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just feel that I need to rise and explain to the body why I will be voting for this resolution. With all due respect to the people in this body who this touches the very heart and soul of them, I want to say that I am one who is very, very concerned and understanding of Native cultures, ways, and beliefs. And I do not want my decision on this resolution to have any indication that I don't recognize that concern. Madam Speaker, I guess that what I really would like to say is that it has been said that this resolution will cause a great divide. Madam Speaker, there is a great divide. And I believe that if anything this resolution can do, and I will agree with the previous speaker, that it is not going to go set on Senator Stevens' desk and he's going to move greatly because of a small number of people in this body. Passing this resolution does not necessarily indicate that we have a consensus in this state. I think we're getting closer. I think when we finally all within our own hearts and minds agree that this is never going to be solved until we do have a consensus and we start understanding both sides of the issue from both sides of the issue, then I think that maybe we will be able to have a consensus. And I, for one, am perfectly willing to spend my time and effort in trying to reach such a consensus. But, Madam Speaker, this problem can't go on any longer. It is time for us to talk about it. It's not time for us to hide in the closets. It's not time for us to be having our hackles raised, as the representative from District 37 says, when someone speaks of Anilka, or the hackles raised when someone else speaks of a rural subsistence changing our Constitution. This is only a part of the solution. It may not be any of the solution. But if this resolution on this floor of this body today doesn't make some people feel real firm about the need and necessity for us to talk about this issue and come to some kind of consensus conclusions, then I've missed my guess. And that I believe that it is very relevant for the person from District 28 to file this resolution, because I have a lot of Native friends that live in urban communities, and I do not wish to have them denied subsistence preference rights. Thank you very much.
Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I missed the opportunity to debate this resolution when I was in the hospital, but I'd like to take this opportunity and voice my opinions and concerns on this resolution before us. First of all, as far as my constituents in my home area district is concerned, this is indeed the darkest hour for them. They've always been afraid of this type of resolution coming forth, and they realize, and as I've spoken before, continue to be a minority in any of the political parties, and that the communities and people that I represent have always favored the federal government, because the federal government has always been more receptive to their way of life, the subsistence way of life, and they've dealt with the federal government before the state of Alaska became a state. So therefore, the folks in my area have always been more receptive to federal government because, as I stated, our way of life was recognized more easily. Alaska, as we all know, is like a country in itself. We have such a large area, different background, with people living different lifestyles. And certainly the folks that I represent through public opinion messages, phone calls, letters, have tried to make a difference by trying to inform, I believe, majority of you or all of you in here to not support this resolution before us. And I'm making at least a last-minute effort here to, if I can change one vote, to vote against this measure before us, like it's been debated before. I, too, am afraid that it's going to even further divide rural area of the state and the people, and those people living in urban Alaska. I think we can compromise if we could all sit down and discuss how we can solve the problem. And I think our home area folks will be willing to sit down and decide what we should come up with to make everybody across the state give and take and agree on these issues before, so I'm standing in opposition to ACR 33, even I do respect the sponsor of the resolution before us. Thank you.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I plan to vote against this, and I did so in committee when we heard it. I don't doubt the sincerity of the sponsor, but I've had people suggest that I represent an urban area. How can I support a rural preference? How is this serving the interests of the people I represent? Well, Madam Speaker, this issue has been around a long time, and I've had plenty of time and hundreds of conversations with people in my district on this exact subject. And they're not all in agreement, but the vast majority of people in my district, when asked the question, in times of scarcity or fishing game resources, should there be a preference for rural Alaskans, the majority of them say yes. Why is that? Well, first of all, my district's a little bit poorer, and maybe they have more sympathy. I actually believe from various polling information that it's true statewide, but I know in my district that people have sympathy for circumstances where you're a little bit more dependent upon a particular way of life. And the fact of the matter is we're a little less dependent in Mountain View. You can't live in Mountain View or Fairview or, in fact, anywhere in Anchorage and be farther than a mile from a store. And there's a variety of systems in place to produce whatever it takes for people to exist. The availability of jobs, and especially year-round jobs, is much greater in rural areas. One could go on forever with the basic differences between rural and urban Alaska. Now, Madam Speaker, I'm not sitting here saying that the absolute one and only solution is a constitutional amendment. That's the choice that I've made over time, but the only way we're ever going to resolve this is to have the two factions, the amend the NILCA faction and the amend the Constitution faction, both back off a little bit and try to get somewhere in the middle. And, Madam Speaker, I've indicated a willingness to do that. I know other members who support a constitutional amendment have. In fact, we had a special session just a few years ago built on that premise. We were going to do neither, and we tried in legislation that eventually didn't succeed, but we tried to find that middle ground, and I participated, many other members of this body did as well, including people who support a constitutional amendment. Madam Speaker, this kind of step is a step backwards, because all we're doing is abandoning the idea of finding some middle ground that can help us preserve state management and deal with the interests of Alaska. It's repolarizing an issue that's been plenty polarized in the past, and it's going to make it much tougher, I think, to find that middle ground. I believe in the end that we aren't going to get a constitutional amendment, though I still would vote for it in a second, and we aren't going to amend the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act of 1980. I don't believe those are going to happen, and I could argue pretty strongly the basis for that. The solution's in the middle, and this is not leading us to that end. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Elton?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I feel a little bit like an elitist standing up and debating this issue, and I hadn't planned on doing it. I'm from an urban area. I can't speak to the social or the economic issues. Unlike the representative from Kenai, who's been dealing with this issue for many years, I can't speak with the fire and the passion that he spoke with. Besides, I'm older, passion is more difficult. But I can talk a little bit about the process. And Madam Speaker, I sympathize with the member from Soldotna. I mean, we pick up the papers, we read the same papers, and we read about Kenai subsistence moose hunts, and we read about the Katie John, and we read about the governor asking to hold off on the implementation of Katie John while we decide what we're going to do. We read about the lieutenant governor being dispatched to try and cobble something together that we can all work with. And I guess, Madam Speaker, what I want to say is I don't think this is the time where we keep shoveling another issue back on the table. Bargainers or facilitators or mediators or consensus builders, I mean, they work taking things off the table, getting down to the nub of the question. And Madam Speaker, I guess what bothers me about this resolution is the pile is getting higher. I mean, we're adding this now on top of Katie John, and we're adding this on top of Kenai subsistence moose. We need to be taking things off. We need to get down and start with the basics. And I think this is just one more piece of flack that's going to make a solution that much more difficult for the new administration and for this new legislature. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I have a district that bridges the boundaries between urban and rural, and I have friends in my district who believe that there ought to be a rural preference, and I have friends in my district that believe that there shouldn't be, that that's drawing arbitrary lines. And Madam Speaker, as a previous member of this body said, I'm listening to my friends on this one. It's a difficult issue, and I also share the opinion that drawing arbitrary geographical boundaries isn't going to solve the problem either. It probably, absent of all the sort of simplistic solutions, is probably the one that gets the closest to solving the problem. But I also concur with the statement that was made that I believe that a majority of Alaskans, I think a strong majority of Alaskans, would agree with the proposition that at times when resources are at a very low ebb, that there ought to be a preference given to those who, in some sense, truly depend upon those resources for their very existence. Madam Speaker, there is another great culture that out of which the observation came that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And Madam Speaker, this resolution is not that step. This resolution is continuing us down the wrong path. This resolution takes us further down the path of division. It's certainly true, as the member from Soldotna observed, that there's a great deal of division now. But Madam Speaker, it serves no purpose to continue down that path and to further divide the issue, to further throw gasoline on a fire that's already wildly out of control. Madam Speaker, we need to be starting to cut fire breaks. We need to be cooling things off. This only adds fuel to the fire, Madam Speaker. It takes us down the wrong path, or further down the wrong path. We need to change direction. We need to start coming together rather than walking further apart. And so, Madam Speaker, it's for that reason that I'm voting against this, not because I don't believe that perhaps there are some issues in here that we need to talk about. I do believe we need to talk about these issues. But this resolution doesn't serve to have that dialogue. It just serves to have us further polarize ourselves and talk in terms of slogans and not to each other but at each other. So, Madam Speaker, it's important that we begin the dialogue. I certainly agree with that. But this resolution is not the way to begin that dialogue. So for that reason, I'm voting no. But I'm in the hope that perhaps the discussion that's engendered here, and I hope the resolution does not pass, but that the discussion will be carried forward and will be converted into a dialogue so that people start listening to each other and that we start actually moving together. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Toohey?
Speaker, I know we've all said many things, and I appreciate the dialogue. I also appreciate the fact that we're talking about this issue, and I think that is the most important thing we can do. And I, as you know, that I was the first person to sign up when the sponsor came around with her resolution. I think it is very important that we discuss this. I think it's important we get this on the table. With or without this resolution, we can go nowhere without some much legal finagling. I think it's very important that we start, and I think today is the start. Thank you.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We have many issues before us, and I'd like to think that most of them, if not all of them, fall in the category of issues on which reasonable people can disagree, not necessarily offend people or by being disagreeable. I just want to make a couple of observations for the record about the issue in general, maybe some clarification, and maybe something that fall under the category of a caution that all of us need, and that is be careful what you wish for, you might get it. It's been expressed that the public would support subsistence in times of shortage, but Madam Speaker, there isn't any time there isn't a shortage. Witness the limits and the seasons that we have on our fish and game resources. We wouldn't have seasons or limits if there wasn't a shortage. There always will be a shortage. But more importantly, the rural population, and remember, we're not just talking about Native people. The rural population is some 40% non-Native, I believe. The rural population in Alaska is projected to double in the next decade, to double. There will be fewer and fewer resources to go around for rural Alaskans. And in that doubling, what's going to happen to some of the larger villages or small cities out there? Recently in the paper, it was discussed that Bethel is getting Pizza Hut, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Burger King, I know, three fast food outlets this year, and Costco is planning to come in. At what point, if the rural population doubles, will Bethel become non-rural? And then will the people still support a rural preference? I think we have to be very, very cautious about this, that we might be doing people a disservice by making decisions on an emotional basis. Certainly, we all have cultures we want to continue. But culture is a changing thing. And we're in a changing world.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Brown?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of considering House Amendment Number 1.
There is objection. The question before us is the...
Madam Speaker, can I briefly...
Brief debate on moving back to second.
Madam Speaker, I haven't spoken on this, and as I listened to the comments of the body about how we need to be trying to find that common ground, I would sincerely...
Representative Brown, I must admonish you not to debate the amendment, just the motion to revert to second.
Well, yes, ma'am. I think I'm on the point of that, and the point is we need to be trying to heal the divisions and find common ground, and I believe this amendment, should we be allowed to debate it, would lead us in that direction, and for that reason, I'd ask for the body's support in returning to second so we could discuss the provisions in our Constitution that deal with the management of our fish and game resources.
The question before us, shall we turn to the second for the purpose of adopting or addressing a specific amendment? Would the members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
19 yeas, 20 nays.
So the motion to return to second has failed to pass the House. We are under debate on the resolution. Representative Brown, you have not spoken on the resolution.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, coming from an urban district, this issue is not as much of a deep lifestyle concern as I know it is for some members. I stand with those members and in opposition to this resolution as it is presently before us. Although, Madam Speaker, I will say I am in full agreement with the second further resolved, where we're asking for the return of management authority to the state of Alaska. But it is the one part solution, the single-sided solution that will be a mistake for this body adopt as our strategy, as our desire to see this move forward. It's, as has been stated, it's not going to accomplish what needs to be done. Madam Speaker, when we debated this resolution previously, the member from District 22 went into a recitation of the history, and I would at this time associate myself with her remarks because I do agree with many of the things that she said and her approach. But I believe, Madam Speaker, we aren't going to get there by pursuing a single solution. It's going to be necessary to provide, as our Constitution says, for common use. The Constitution doesn't say equal access. It says common use. And as Alaskans, we have to work out how we're going to provide among the beneficial uses. And the Constitution actually speaks to that under sustained yield. And with leave, I would like to read one sentence from the Constitution. Fish, forest, wildlife, grasslands, and all other replenishable resources belonging to the state shall be utilized, developed, and maintained on the sustained yield principle, subject to preferences among beneficial uses. The difficulty, of course, is it doesn't say users. But I wonder, Madam Speaker, how we as Alaskans can work out a reasonable system of allocation. Over the years, I've come to feel, Madam Speaker, that need must be one of the bases for this allocation among the preferential uses. If you need it for your table, you should have preference. You should have priority. And that should be the case whether you live in urban or rural Alaska. And, Madam Speaker, I believe we can come up with a way to amend our Constitution to get that principle embodied in it. And I believe that would be in the best interest of all of our people. And that's what the Constitution really talks about. We're supposed to be using our resources for the maximum use consistent with the public interest and for the maximum benefit of the people that we represent. It is not possible, I don't believe, to have equal access. Equal access will destroy the resource. Equal access will harm people who depend for their livelihood, for their life, on these resources. And therefore, Madam Speaker, we must, I believe, adopt the principle of need for the resource, as one of the bases of our common use among the people. And I'm disappointed that we are not willing to take this resolution and make some simple changes to it that bring us toward finding a solution. There are solutions. In the meantime, we've sat here. All the years I've been in the legislature, we've sat here, we've argued about this. People have been, I would say, from my perspective, people who are declining or refusing to consider a constitutional amendment, leading us into a situation from which it's going to be difficult to recover. The federal government is here. The federal government is in control. The day has come, and now we are in a deep hole trying to climb back out in the face of a growing division among our people. It's not healthy, Madam Speaker. We're going to have to work together to try to come up with a better way. And I think there is a better way. And I'm sad to see this resolution here that doesn't try to move us in that direction. And so I would appeal to the sponsor of the resolution and the other members on this floor, let's don't let it just go by again and fail to step up to our responsibility as the trustees of the people's resources and come up with a solution that works. There are solutions. We can do it. Let's do it.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Roakberg?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of the prior speaker from North Spinard. What this resolution doesn't do is provide for a real medium of exchange of ideas and resolution. What I'd like to see in this resolution is a call for some type of a summit meeting, for lack of a better term, to bring the various bodies together. Because, you know, our fears of the future are now. They are now. We need to get rid of the feds. We need to bring these various bodies together and try to find some resolution to this issue. And that's why I'd love to see a resolve in, or whereas in this resolution it calls for some kind of a get-together, a rendezvous, a summit to discuss these issues. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to resolve this thing. I think this body should provide some of that leadership to bring the people together and not tear them apart. And I really, truly believe that the issue of need should be at the foundation of any kind of resolution. Thank you.
Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm disturbed that we failed to go back to second reading on this issue. I'm disturbed at it because I believe that all the members of this body have actually worked very well during this year. And I think it's incumbent upon the majority to at times allow the minority some of the latitudes that the majority has the ability to stop, because the minority at times also has the ability to hinder, and I don't think we have done that. And with that in mind, Madam Speaker, I would move that we rescind our action by failing to return to second reading.
Motion before us is to rescind our action and failing to return to second. Is there objection? There is objection. Ready for the question? The question is, shall we rescind our action? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk please tally the board.
20 yeas, 19 nays.
The motion to rescind has passed. Now stand at ease. There will be a majority caucus. Ms. Chambers? No. The motion to rescind. The motion to rescind our action has failed to pass. The motion to rescind takes the same number of votes as the motion on the previous question. The previous question was a motion to go back to second for the purpose of a specific amendment. That takes 21 votes. The motion to rescind fails to pass. We are under final debate on the resolution. Section 102 is in effect. Every member will only speak one time on the issue. Further debate. Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. ANILCA is a very complex, complicated piece of legislation. And had it not been for pools of oil that reside within the parameters of the state of Alaska and many powerful interests that became very concerned about what possibly could happen with the oil potential there, we probably would be still dealing with some of the questions that ANILCA ties us up into this debate. And I think when you look back at some of the warnings that have been given us by our congressional delegation, one of their major fears was that if ANILCA was opened, that other things would happen that we would not like. And I remember for years that when the congressional delegation came here, they said that we don't want ANILCA opened, because once it's opened, we cannot control it. And basically what they're saying is once you open it, other interests that are not in this state will end up doing mischief and causing us more problems than what we already have. Now, when the pendulum of political power changed in Congress, the tune of our congressional delegation, or the tone, also changed somewhat. And that was, if you're going to ask to open ANILCA, be very, very specific so that if we can go and open it, that it'll only be open for these following points. But if we're not specific, you're going to find our congressional delegation very hesitant about opening it, because believe me, that is a very complex piece of legislation, and there's a lot of things that could be done that we're not even thinking about right now that would definitely put the state at odds, maybe on other resource questions, not just the fight amongst Alaskans, but a fight amongst major business interests or our sister states and some of the resources we have. So for that reason, I am not going to support this resolution, because if I could be guaranteed that we'd go in there and do a surgical hit in relation with some definitions and some of the finer questions to address our subsistence, I'd be willing to do so. But I don't want to take the gamble, as there are a lot of pieces of legislation that we would hate to see back before us in its entirety. It's much like the arguments we had with having a constitutional convention. We feel that there are great dangers in having a state constitutional convention, because then everything is open and then all the interest groups come to play in it, instead of just proposing a constitutional amendment. So that's why I'm against it.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think to say that this is a complex area is probably the understatement of the year. But with that said, and with that recognized, I'm sure by all of us, I am very encouraged by the tone of the debate that we have had on this issue today and in the previous consideration. I wasn't here, but I'm told that the tone of the debate some years back was divisive, was us against them, was rural against urban, and I just don't hear that here. I hear a almost total consensus that we have to do a number of things before this issue can be resolved. think I would like to identify with bad eyes. The blonde from North Pole. When she said, please don't interpret my vote, and I ask all of you, please don't interpret my vote to be intended to be divisive or to expand the divisions that already exist. I see this as a piece of the puzzle. I don't think that it's going to cause our congressional delegation to take it in hand and run into the floor of the Senate or the House in Washington, D.C. and take action, but I think it is a tool in their arsenal to be matched by an equal tool. And that is the only reason that I think that this is an appropriate thing to do. While all of us must try to be responsive to our constituents, there's no doubt in my mind that the vast majority of the constituents in District 20 want me to vote for this, and I'm going to, but not probably because of the reason that at least some of them want me to. There's more to come, and I'm going to try to support that also. Thank you.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, you know, probably like many of us here on the floor, I'm absolutely no expert on this issue. But, Madam Speaker, the main problem that I have here is the fact that we have a critical issue before us. And instead of either setting up a committee or asking an existing committee to really delve into what are the issues facing us here and truly begin to map out a solution on how we're going to solve this problem, I believe we've just brought, a half issue forward. And I have to probably disagree with the representative from 20. I believe it is divisive. I really believe it has caused conflict when we have to come forward and debate the issue before we have had a chance to bring us really all up to the same level. I think we've seen this on other issues before this body, and I think that before all of us are going to be really able to either support this resolution or support another resolution or another bill that might be brought forward to us, we clearly need to put all the cards on the table, discuss it, and come forward with a solution. In my opinion, Madam Speaker, this clearly is not the solution, and I really believe some of the comments from the member from District 15 and also my colleague next to me from District 11, clearly states, what we need to do. And I would prefer that we table this resolution for a temporary period of time until we can put it back into committee and thoroughly debate it so that everybody on this floor can be comfortable with the direction that we're moving, and also the people across the state, not just from urban areas, not just from rural areas, but from all over the state, feel that we are moving in the right direction. Madam Speaker, it's like we've been debating this for as long as I can remember it. I know that when I worked for a former governor, that governor tried to bring a solution forward that never got voted on by this body. I know that our last governor tried and had commissions and committees to try to solve this problem. I believe we can solve it. I believe it's going to be difficult. I believe it's going to take a tremendous amount of hard work. I think it's also going to take a tremendous amount of compromising. But I think that it would be in the best interest of the state that we don't wait another year or 2 or 3 years, continue to divide people in the state, but send it back to a committee. Let's sit down. Let's truly debate it and bring the right issue forward.
Representative Masick for Rapa. Representative Nicolai first.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, for giving me the opportunity to make my comments on this resolution that is before us. I truly believe that this resolution does not provide for a solution to the problems that we have with our fish and game resources. I also believe that this resolution does drive a wedge between the people in the rural and the urban communities. I have received a lot of POMs and a lot of letters from my constituents stating this fact, that one thing I will have to say that this resolution did was create an awareness, a great awareness of where we are headed with our fish and game resources. It has made the students in the high schools aware of what is happening. They have reviewed the resolutions and in fact, have written written stories about and written papers about this dilemma. They are very afraid of what the future holds if we don't resolve this issue. They are very afraid that if we don't resolve the priority for rural subsistence within this body or within this state, that there will not be that resource in the future for them and for their children. I have read many letters in regards to this. I have read many letters from the parents as well. They are looking for a solution. They feel that this that subsistence is a link to their survival. It's a link to their livelihood, and is not. And that they also feel that subsistence is just not about hunger, but it's a tie to their cultural activities. It's a tie to their economy, their economies and their local communities, because they cannot survive out there with the high cost of living that they have without having the fish and game resources for their sustenance. I did get a letter that I like to quote from that was from my brother in Tanana, and he said that if we do take away their privileges of being able to go out and get fish and game for themselves in times of shortages, that this would be a direct conflict with his spiritual belief and has been a cultural mainstay in his native society for generations and should remain so for the rest of our generations to come. And I truly believe that this is true. That's how we feel out there in rural Alaska, and that we would, when I have stayed before on this floor, that we would truly like to work with our friends from the urban communities in resolving this issue, and that we have welcomed them into our community, and we will continue to do so. But the people are very aware of this resolution out there, and they truly do oppose it. I think that they're even starting to say to me now that we need to work with the governor in coming up with the resolution. And I think that all of the parties involved here need to do that. We need to go and sit down with the governor and tell him our thoughts and talk about where we're headed in the future. And I just don't think that this resolution does that. And so that is why I'm going to be voting against this resolution today. Thank you.
In wrap-up, Representative Masick. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wasn't going to get up again and talk. I did talk at the last time it was brought before this committee, before this legislature. We talk about divisiveness, driving wedges, and doing all kinds of sorts of things. You could feel the tension in this room today on something that isn't going to do anything. Madam Speaker, what are we doing? You know, if we were serious about taking care of the subsistence issue, we would be talking about, we would have had the bill that was brought before us here, I'm sure it was at the beginning of the session, by the representative from District 39. He has a subsistence bill in there. This is something that we should be able to do. We heard from our Attorney General saying that ANILCA had to be done, had to be amended, and the Alaska Constitution had to be amended. Someone earlier was talking about that we're only doing half of it right now, Madam Speaker. This is true. We should get together and try to get something here that will do something for the state of Alaska, not divide us, Madam Speaker. I would like to be able to take care of, manage our own resources in the state, Madam Speaker. I would like to be able to do that. I want to do that. I see what's before us today and within the state. The state is so full of natural resources, and we should be in control of our natural resources, Madam Speaker. With this, I think it would be harder for us to get everybody together. You could just see the votes that are going on here in this, on this floor. It isn't an overwhelming majority one way or the other. I think, Madam Speaker, I would, if there was a way that we could take care of the subsistence problem today, and if this bill was the one that would do it, I would certainly vote for it, Madam Speaker. And I understand the governor is working on the lieutenant governor is working on a plan, and I would support that. I think what this will do, Madam Speaker, is probably drive a wedge. It would be harder for the people to come in together and that don't really understand subsistence and only pick just certain parts of the subsistence bill out and use it in that sense, Madam Speaker. Use it to their own liking. I think this subsistence bill is so complicated that we need to see the whole picture. So, Madam Speaker, I would urge everyone to vote against this.
In wrap-up, Representative Sanders.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of the last speaker. And I'd like to tell you that this bill is tearing me apart.
In wrap-up, Representative Masick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I will be brief with my comments on H.J.R. 33. H.J.R. 33 just requests Congress to amend those portions of ANILCA that conflicts with our state constitution, and only that portion does it call for amending. It doesn't take away the subsistence of anyone in the state, and it also talks about the portion of ANILCA which allows cash sales of subsistence fish and game. And number two, that portion of ANILCA, which eliminates seasons, bag limits, and sustained yield and management of fish and game in our state. And also that portion of ANILCA, which does not permit me to wear my native dress with pride in Juneau, Alaska, a non-rural area. And today I'm not wearing my Athabascan dress that was made for me by my people. I ask you, my colleagues, to amend that part of ANILCA, which tells me I must take off my dress when I leave a cultural zone, a zone called rural. It's a line on a map, Madam Speaker. It's a cultural dividing line that was made up in Washington, D.C. Residents of our state, Juneau through Ketchikan, Anchorage, Fairbanks, the Mat-Su Valley, the Kenai Peninsula, Eagle River, Chugiak, Kodiak, and other communities outside of the federal zones are being discriminated against. ANILCA has abolished their rights to subsistence hunt and fish, to wear the dress, if you will, then full. If I put my dress back on here in Juneau, this law that ANILCA has, it's permitting me not to do it. And I have over 1,700 signatures from the Kenai Peninsula area alone, which were sent to me expressing their strong feelings about the recent ANILCA acts that the courts had to make their decision on regarding all of the recent problems that are happening down there. And I have relayed the messages they sent to me to my colleagues in this body. And Madam Speaker, let those who oppose the cash sale of the fish and game, let those who oppose unregulated, unnecessary regulations for our fish and game, for the harvest of it, Madam Speaker, and let those who oppose acculturing zone and ethnic boundaries, let them support H.J.R. 33. We need to let the constituents we promised here in Alaska to uphold the Constitution of our state. Please support H.J.R. 33. And if there are others in this body who wish to allow these controversial ANILCA activities to continue, Madam Speaker, they can let the residents of the state see red. As I see it, we have two buttons and two choices, green for unity or red for conflict. Green for commercial fishing or red for ANILCA fishing. And green for that's right Madam Speaker, and red for an excuse. Green for subsistence, or red for segregation, Madam Speaker. And last but least, green for cultural freedom, or red for cultural zoning. And most important of all, Madam Speaker, green for Alaska, or red for ANILCA, a federal act. Who will join with me in defending our state constitution? A constitution which gives us our full Alaskan dress, an expression of freedom that's so important to our state and to our country. Freedom to be a full Alaskan, whether or not it happened to be an ANILCA-approved resident. I urge your support for HJR 33. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Mr. Minority Leader?
Not quite so fast. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've been sitting and listening to all of the comments, and I would like to add a few comments of my own on this issue. First of all, Madam Speaker, I do take some exception with all due respect to immediately invoking Rule 102, although I think there's been good debate and people have had an opportunity to speak. I've consistently said that you've always allowed very good debate on this floor, and I'd like to continue to do so, especially on issues. I'd like to encourage you to continue to do so, especially on issues such as these that are so important to all of us. But, Madam Speaker, I'd like to start with reviewing just a few comments by some of the members of this body. You know, the member from District 11 talked about the need to have a summit, that he would really appreciate something being in resolution to have a summit or to bring all sides together. And I just want to assure that member that that is happening right now. The governor has reached out to the speaker and to the president of the Senate, to myself, to a number of people, to the Outdoor Council, to AFN, to all the people involved, and said, look, we have got to bring a Alaska solution to the table. This is not an Alaska solution. This is an Outdoor Council solution. It's no secret I've always supported the other side of the solution through a constitutional amendment, because I believe that if a constitutional amendment were put on the ballot, it would pass. It's passed in the past. I think that people in urban Alaska, what is it, 70% of the people live in urban Alaska, whatever, some number like that? It's not exactly like the deck is stacked against rural Alaska or against urban Alaska. Consistently, the majority of people in this body have supported putting it on the ballot, but it hasn't got 27 votes. There's been consistently 13 people that have held it up. So I'm not standing on this floor saying the only answer is a constitutional amendment, although I believe if that passed, federal management would go away. Let's talk about what subsistence really is here. A rural preference, which was granted by Congress, which was pushed for by our Republican congressional delegation, recognizes the importance of the subsistence lifestyle in rural Alaska. Now, does that mean that only rural Alaskans have access to the fish and game in this state? Absolutely not. If that was honored, if that Title 8 of ANILCA was honored with a rural preference in our Constitution, everything would be managed exactly the way it is right now, by our Board of Fish and by our Board of Game. Nothing would change. The only time that a preference would kick in is when there's a severe shortage of a specific resource and the Board of Fish or Game would need to determine the level of harvest that could happen without that particular species, fish or game, from being wiped out. And that would allow for a rural preference. And I think that Congress recognized, I think probably all of us in this room hopefully would recognize, that if there is a shortage, who in their right mind would want everybody in the state to be able to attack that particular resource? That's why there's a need for a preference. Good management would tell you it's not wise to have everybody and their brother attack a specific resource if there's a shortage. So what is wrong with recognizing that rural Alaskans traditionally live a subsistence lifestyle more than urban people? That's not a negative thing towards urban people, it's just a fact. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of hay being made about this being that there should be a native preference. I won't go as far as the blonde member from North Pole and saying that there should only be a native preference, because my grandmother is a full-blooded native. My grandfather was white. I grew up living a subsistence lifestyle right alongside non-native people. And right now, this day, I represent 37 villages here in Southeast Alaska, and every single one of those communities live a subsistence lifestyle, native and non-native alike. But when I come here to Juneau to do my part along with all of you to represent the people of the state, I don't need to have a subsistence lifestyle to survive here in Juneau.
The member from District 18, with all due respect to my friend, continues to amaze me about some of the comments he makes about subsistence, and I respectfully disagree with some of those comments. To suggest, Madam Speaker, that because Bethel, one of the largest Native communities in the state, might be getting a Pizza Hut or a Costco or something, that there's not going to be a need to have subsistence there any longer, a rural preference. I would suggest to you that Bethel and the surrounding villages, correct me if I'm wrong, is one of the poorest regions of our state in terms of income. If those people don't have a subsistence guarantee that they would be able to subsist, even if it was scaled down a little bit under a severe emergency, if those people don't subsist, they will die. And this is not only an economic issue here. This is a cultural issue. People, Native people in this state are culturally tied to subsistence as a way of life. There's a lot of emotional well-being and a lot of emotional, spiritual things that are obtained from the act of subsisting and living a subsistence lifestyle that we continually disregard and don't even recognize on this floor. That is as much, if not more, of subsistence, having that cultural way of life, than anything. The member from District 20, my friend, the former chief of police from Anchorage, said that he heard there's almost consensus on this floor that we need to come together as Alaskans and resolve this problem. I agree with him. But I would suggest that this resolution is not getting us to an almost consensus. This is driving the biggest wedge possible. And I cannot believe what is happening to the members even of the majority caucus that live in rural Alaska for having this on the floor. I would suggest if my caucus were in charge, this bill would not be on the floor. And I'm really concerned about that. The member from District 19 hit it right on the head with about three or four words or whatever he said. This resolution is tearing him apart. I can see that, and I think he's accurate. It's tearing me apart. I'm sure it's tearing the others apart that have opposing views from me. I'm not knocking anybody to have their own personal views. I respect each and every opinion on this floor. But I would suggest, Madam Speaker, this is not the answer to resolving that. This drives a bigger wedge. This is the most divisive thing. This is the one thing that I've seen Alaska Natives throughout the state, and I've been a member of AFN's board of directors. I've been involved in Native corporation politics ever since I was about 17 years old, before I came into the legislature. I have not seen one thing that is more offensive to Alaska Native people in rural Alaska than this resolution right here, and the companion one that's sitting in the Rules Committee. You talk about just tearing somebody apart. That's what it's doing. It's tearing a place apart. You know, the member from District 28, the sponsor of this resolution, I'm going to be very careful because I do not want to offend her, because I know she's sincere about what she's doing, Madam Speaker, and I mean it in all respect. But she suggested that ANILCA, that this resolution, first of all, would amend ANILCA. It doesn't amend anything. All it does is send a mixed message back to our congressional delegation that we would like them to consider amending ANILCA. And would 21 vote, if this does pass with 21 votes, is probably the most it's going to get. Is that sending a clear message? I don't think so. She also suggested taking off her Native dress is a result of ANILCA. I would suggest
Representative Mackey, please be very, very careful.
Okay,
with your
I am,
words.
And I'm just repeating exactly what she said. And I am trying to be respectful, Madam Speaker. That ANILCA is the cause for her having to feel like she has to do that. I would suggest that ANILCA does more to protect Alaska Natives and rural Alaskans in the state of Alaska than any other document in history. And I'll end with that, on that.
We've had wrap-up by both.
I'm done. I'm ending with, I don't want to offend the member who sponsors this resolution. I won't go any further, even though I feel compelled to, I won't. Madam Speaker, the Katie John decision came out a few days ago. We all went to the governor's office as leadership to meet with the governor to talk about this issue. You and I agreed. We really need to sit down as Alaskans. Governor has made the offer, and the lieutenant governor, to try to bring all sides together, not leaving out the outdoor council, not leaving out AFN, not leaving out anybody, bring everybody together. You yourself, Madam Speaker, even indicated that you were confident that perhaps by the end of the summer we may be able to come up with a solution. That's the kind of thing I like to see out of my speaker, and I like to hear out of my speaker, that, yeah, I think we can build consensus. Now, whether we can do that or not remains to be seen, but that's the kind of attitude that we should have. That's why I object to this being on the floor right now. Now, I know members' priorities have to come to the floor, and you defer a lot to members for that, and I can appreciate that. But I don't want you to think I'm attacking you, because I know you want to try to resolve this issue, and I appreciate that, Madam Speaker, and I think that's exactly what needs to be done. The congressional delegation, as other people have mentioned, have stood here and said, we will not entertain anything that is not an Alaskan consensus. I would suggest to you, and I might be a little cruel, but I've always supported Young and Stevens. I think they're doing an excellent job in representing Alaska's interests back there, but I've consistently listened to them say we need a constitutional amendment, and I heard our senior senator say we will not deal with anything that's not an Alaskan consensus. I would suggest to you that they will not take this seriously. Our congressman down on the Kenai Peninsula said just those words the other day. So the only thing this is going to do is continue to rip people apart, like the member back here from 19 said. It's going to continue to make Alaska Native people and AFN across the state wonder, why are you doing this to us? I'm obviously a little bit upset about it, Madam Speaker, but, you know, I keep going back to, and I'll wrap up now. I know we've had a lot of debate on the issue. I keep going back to the one thing that I heard one of our former leaders in this state talk about when they talked about subsistence, and I mentioned it last week when this resolution was defeated. Alaska is the last state in this nation that still has an opportunity to preserve an Aboriginal culture, a traditional way of life, and an Alaska Native people that this state can be proud of. If you take a look at any other state in this whole nation and you look at what they've done to their Aboriginal people and the Natives, the Indian people across this nation, and you look at the slums that they live in and the things they call reservations and everything else, it's absolutely disgraceful. They are doing everything they can to try to resurrect their culture after they lost everything and so on and so forth, but they are in dire straits. And I'm not being critical of them because they didn't know what was happening at the time. I would hope that we would learn from that and that the state of Alaska could, that we could all stand on this floor and say, we're proud of our Native people in Alaska. We're proud of the cultural lifestyle that they live. We're proud of the fact that people that traditionally have lived a subsistence lifestyle, Native and non-Native alike, will continue to be able to live that lifestyle. Come visit Alaska. Come and look at our how we've preserved our culture and how we stand out more than any other state in this whole nation. To me, that'd be something to be proud of. Not come down here and say, we do not want a rural preference for subsistence. We want it to be for everybody, and we want all of the out-of-state weekend warrior hunters to be able to come here and have first access to that, regardless of the condition of the resource. I think that's wrong. Madam Speaker, I'm very hopeful this resolution is not going to pass today. I believe it's not going to pass. I could be surprised. I hope I'm not surprised. It's going to be very close. I would hope that if it does not pass, that we would consider that a directive to all of us to come together and to try to build this consensus that I think we all want to do. Now, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat that's a governor up there. The governor needs to lead us in this effort, along with you, Madam Speaker, along with our Madam President on the other body, and bringing people together to resolve this. I really think it's possible to do it. I really believe that. Because I've always said the federal government will continue to rule in favor of Alaska Natives when it comes to these court decisions, and that's exactly what's happened. And you think we're in dire straits now, go ahead and pass this resolution. Go ahead and have Alaska Natives on the defensive. And I would suggest to all of you that we're going to have more and more and more federal lawsuits and things that are going to come down that's going to affect commercial fishing, that's going to affect tourism and sport fishing on the Kenai, that's going to affect all of the things that collectively in this body we want to protect against. And I think, Madam Speaker, I think the record will show that I'm at least fairly accurate on what I'm saying there. So I guess I'll end with saying that right now is not the time for this resolution. It's divisive. I respect the strong feelings that the member that sponsored this resolution has, but I would hope that people in this body would look inside yourself and realize, although even though maybe you like this concept, at least think about the timing of it. The timing of it is wrong today, and I would hope that we'd be able to resolve this together as a state. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Wrap-up has been given on both sides of the issue. Representative Navarre, I will give you the privilege of the floor very, very briefly for clarification on remarks on your opening comment.
Well, actually, Madam Speaker, I wanted to clear up some remarks from the representative from District 28 that I feel misconstrued the petition that was forwarded to my office, and that is with respect to any changes to definitions in ANILCA other than the two that are mentioned in the resolution, any reference to the Katie John decision, any reference to commercial fishing and otherwise, even any changes to ANILCA were not referenced in that petition. What it was a petition against the preference, the rural preference as it's been suggested by the subsistence board, and that which would divide communities and draw very arbitrary lines over which areas are rural and which are not. I think we do need to make some changes, but to suggest that the petition that was signed was in any way, shape, or form as the member from District 28 suggested, is absolutely inaccurate and very misleading. I also wanted to clear up or offer some brief comments with respect to the member from District 20 about the tone of the debate, particularly in 1990 when we had a special session. And I can say, Madam Speaker, that the special session in 90, what there were some heated debates, there was some divisiveness, but the one single thing that the special session in 1990 did was fully educate, because it was the only issue we were focusing on. It fully educated. I believe more people were educated about the whole arena and area of subsistence because of that special session than at any time prior to that during the legislature. And I would encourage, Madam Speaker, consideration of a special session to address this issue so that we focus on this as a single issue in an attempt to reach consensus. And while we may not be able to achieve that, I still believe that we should try, and I ask you to consider that in your deliberations as the Speaker of this body. I also want to say that at that time we were pushing for a two-year constitutional amendment, and what I pleaded with the body at the time for in support of the two-year constitutional amendment was keep the status quo so that we don't get to the point where the courts, one, we get federal intrusion and lose state management, and two, where we start getting court decisions that negatively impact, which we're going to have a much more difficult time stepping back from, and that's the situation that we're in today. So, Madam Speaker, I encourage you to give some consideration to a special session on this issue. I think that it is rising again to the level where it is demanded by the people of this state, and we would do justice to our people and the concerns that they have in our efforts to regain management of fish and game by Alaskans. And I hope that we'll see some consideration of that. And I also want to say, Madam Speaker, that I appreciate the level of debate and discussion that's gone on today by all members, because